on Sunday Nights with Noel Debien.
Now to a new film that has gotten more media coverage in New South Wales and Victoria in particular than many blockbusters, as I mentioned. It's been mentioned in two state parliaments. Oddly, in the same week that Victoria banned religious instruction from state schools from next year. The key school concerned, Burwood Girls High, happens to have religious instruction scheduled during its school hours here in New South Wales, and one of the ministers involved in their special religious education, Presbyterian Minister Mark Powell, has been one of the leaders speaking publicly in media against Gaby Babies screening during school time. Seems a funny contrast, doesn't it? Well, joining us now, not only the filmmaker Maya Newell, an old girl of Burwood High School, as I said, but also Shane Mallard, a member of the Legislative Council in New South Wales, who gave a very powerful speech in New South Wales Parliament earlier this week, criticising the way the Daily Telegraph beat up the movie into some sort of gay and lesbian thing into schools. Here's how the movie sort of starts.
Dear Lord, please keep us safe through the night. And please watch over us as we fly to Canberra tomorrow. Make sure that all the conditions are good, that we don't get hurt, and that Matthew finds the answers that he's looking for.
Well, Maya Newell, that is an unusual way, I think, to start a discussion on a film that seems to have been discussed all around the country, mentioned in Parliament, splashed across newspapers. That's a mum praying with her son, and they're on their way to Canberra, of course, to meet the Prime Minister. How did you meet them? How did you get these people to agree to do the film, for a start? Let's talk a little bit about that film.
Sure. So in the film actually follows four kids who are all 11 years old as they're sort of traversing oncoming puberty. And the clip that you just listened to, which is of Matt's story, when I met Matt's family, he was 12 years old and they'd just been selected to go and have dinner with Julia Gillard to discuss their family and share with her, you know, what the experience of growing up was like. And
as in Exhibit A, look, here's two kids with two mothers. See, you can see for yourself.
Exactly. Yeah. And then after spending, you know, probably, you know, a year or so filming with that family, I realised that Sandy and Lou both came from very religious upbringings themselves. Sandy was from a Catholic background, and Matt had grown up praying to God every day. And they just moved houses into a new area and started at a new church. And the priest at their new church had been sort of preaching about how homosexuality is bad and telling Matt that his mums would go to hell.
This is a Catholic priest, you mean?
Actually, it was an Anglican church, okay. But Sandy grew up as a Catholic, but shifted to this other church. And Matt very, I think, understandably, was having a bit of an existential crisis when I met him, because he was realizing that how could he believe in a God that didn't believe in his mother's love? And I think that sometimes there's a lot of conservative religious arguments that are going on around our families, and maybe they haven't really even considered the existence of children growing up in these families, and then they are losing a whole new generation of believers because of some of the, you know, damaging and hurtful things that they're saying about our families and our parents' sexuality.
My mom basically wants me to have a meeting with the pastor to have a little chat about God. I just think that the meeting's going to be a bit strange. I'm talking to people that have believed in God since they were like 5 years old. It's almost like telling a child that Santa's not real.
Why do you go to a church where everyone thinks that you're a sin against God, when you could just go to a church where everyone thinks that you're normal?
For me, it's not about what people think. It's what I believe my God believes and what he thinks about us.
And then when I saw this whole religious discussion going on, I actually found it a bit painful to watch Matthew because he's only 12, you know. And at 12 years of age, he's trying to cope with a religious person telling him that his mum and his two mums are somehow sinful and that, you know, this is wrong. And in the end, he chooses actually against religion, which is a funny outcome, isn't it?
Completely. And I think, you know, this week, you know, it's been very full on for us as filmmakers because we actually spent most of Wednesday morning speaking with all the families, spending time with those kids because they all had to go to school that day.
You knew what was going to happen, basically.
Oh, I mean, this is after I woke up and, found out what had happened.
At your old school, I believe, too.
That's right.
You're a Burwood Girls' School.
I am.
You're a Burwood Girls' School girl.
Yes. Actually, to take us on a little mini tangent, I actually had an incredibly uplifting, invigorating morning this morning because even though Burwood couldn't screen the film, I still came and spoke at their Wear It Purple Day event this morning.
Notice I'm wearing.
You're wearing a beautiful purple shirt right now. And all of the girls were completely dressed. It was this coming together of that community who realized that they were in some ways a bubble of tolerance and acceptance. Mm. And the leadership that Mia Kumar has shown from that school has been absolutely incredible.
It's a funny thing that the Education Minister in New South Wales banned it in literally a week after Victoria banned religious education in state schools.
I know.
It's quite a funny contrast that in two states at the same time, things are being excluded because they're seen as promoting ideas of some sort that are not secular, not mainstream. But what was your purpose in making the film? Why were you making it?
I think there's a range of reasons. So for anyone who doesn't know, I was also raised by two lesbian mums who have been together for, I think they had their 30th anniversary this year, actually.
Ah.
And, you know, when I was growing up, we didn't talk about different family structures at school. I didn't see my families when I went to the movies. And I think I was 25 before I went and saw a fiction feature called The Kids Are All Right. And it was the first time in 25 years that I'd ever seen my family structure represented on the big screen.
Mm.
And it was a hugely emotional moment. And I think that what's exciting that in 2015, we're actually in the midst of what I like to call a gaby boom. You know, there's been changes in technology. There's been lifting of public opinion. There's been laws that have lifted to allow our families to exist. And there are thousands of kids. You know, like this is not a new thing. And sometimes some leaders talk about us as if we're hypotheticals and, you know, if we allow their parents to marry, what if they have kids? And, you know, it's like, well, we've existed for a long time and, you know, this is not a controversial film. It's just, you know, kids that are existing in Australian society today.
Now, when you say thousands, I'm aware that in Australia there are literally thousands. I think the count that I saw was something around 6,000 children.
That's the census from 2011.
Right.
I would be confident to say it's a lot larger than that.
Well, the USA, I was looking at the figures, it's over a million in the
wow.
United States. It's over a million kids in same-sex families in the United States. And so, yes, so you might say, well, that's not a huge number compared to other families in Australia, but it's still a very significant number. And I was very interested that you chose different families, by the way, too, in this film. You know, one family is struggling with money. You know, they're having trouble getting it together. Another group, they're moving to Fiji for their job, jetting out. And, you know, another family, again, is perhaps middle class, you might say, but all quite different. How did you choose them? Was it an accident? Was it serendipity?
Documentary is always a little bit serendipity. but I did go all around Australia and probably interview 30 or 40 kids. And part of that was to find people to be in the film, but part of that was also because I wanted to research what children today are really experiencing and what themes should be prevalent in the film. So I think, you know, what you touched on, you know, Matt is exploring his religion and Gus is exploring what it means to be a man, and Ebony is sort of traversing the discrimination in the playground.
Or not, and shall I tell
singing.
Them about my family or not,
you know,
tell my family? Yeah.
Graham's story is largely about him learning to read
yeah.
after being, you know, one of the first kids in New South Wales to be adopted under the new legislation that allowed same-sex couples to adopt. And his dad's, you know, supporting him because in his first heterosexual family, he literally wasn't given enough attention and to
he
learn.
He was so neglected
to talk.
He didn't speak till he was five, basically. That's what happened, isn't it? And he was adopted out.
Yeah.
I am still trying to work out, I'll bring Shane Mallard in a moment into the conversation, but I'm still trying to work out what the terrible objection is within the school system. Have you got a sense that there were parents complaining?
Look, I've heard that there might have been one or two, but I think if the official number from the Department of Education is zero, then we have to take that seriously. At the same time, all students were given the opt-out if they really didn't want to watch it. But I think at the end of this week, or when people hopefully do come and see the film, we will all realise that this is such a simple film about... actually, I asked Ebony, who's 12, you know, she's 12 in the film, she's 16 now, how she was going about all this. And she was like, this is not a gay agenda. The only agenda my mums have is trying to get my baby brother Micaiah to sleep at night.
Because he's got epilepsy. That's another sub-story,
isn't it? This is actually a new addition to the family since the film was made.
Oh, so they've had another child.
They have. I'm a godparent. I'm pretty excited.
Good on you.
I'm going to a Catholic high school next year. And the first thing I said was, Mom, there's nearly 5,000 kids and not all 5,000 can bully me. There'll only be about, hopefully, none. Kids sometimes can come up with better ideas than adults.
They discriminate against my family, myself, and all other gay families in Australia. Does that make sense?
I think that one of mine or Dill's ideas are going to really move the Prime Minister and maybe even make gay marriage legal.
We're joined by a member of the Legislative Council from New South Wales, Shane Mallard. Shane, thank you very much for being with us on the program. You made a speech on Wednesday, I think it was, in State Parliament in the Upper House. It was quite a passionate speech about this film. Why?
Well, it was a five-minute adjournment speech, which is a speech which gives us a lot of latitude to talk about issues that concern us. I had another speech planned. I was so angry and concerned and emotional about the media beat-up around the film that I decided to take the opportunity to make that speech. And in fact, I was the fourth Member of Parliament to make a speech around that subject, but the only coalition member to do so. And what surprised me is as I got into the speech, a lot of emotion came to the surface. And in fact, I've just noticed there's been 2,000 viewings of that speech on my Facebook page on social media, which is a record for me.
Well, that's where I caught it. But I remember your own marriage to Jesper before a Lutheran minister. This is something that touches you too personally. And in a sense, you've sort of crossed a line, haven't you? Because in one sense, the Liberal education minister said, look, we don't want this during school time, but you felt strongly enough to speak. That's fairly unusual, isn't it?
Well, no. In fact, the Liberal Party is, generally speaking, prides itself on allowing members to have a conscience on many issues. And if you listen to my speech, I was particularly focused on the media response, the Daily Telegraph, the tabloid radio response, which I'm concerned is just a taste of what we will have if there is a plebiscite or, as outrageous as it is to suggest, amending our constitution for same-sex marriage. You know, that will unleash the hounds of the minority of bigoted people against us. And I think a gay baby was just that this furor beat up around that, tabloid beat up, is just a touch of what could happen, what will happen when if we go down that path.
Well, this has been very interesting. Maya, can I ask you, have you been surprised by the level of emotion that's been surrounding this?
Yes, I have, but then it's actually not surprising in lots of ways as well, because I think that, yes, it started with the film, but this is about something much larger than the film now. You know, I believe that all kids, everyone deserves the right to see them, you know, their family structures, themselves represented in their education and in the world around them. And maybe it's more about that. Unfortunately, it got a little bit ugly, got more about, you know, maybe homophobia, to say it.
Shane Mallard, can I ask you, when it comes down to it, the issue here is whether it should be done in school time or not. That's how it's blown up. And that's a question of what should you present before children. Now, Maya has said she grew up in a family with two mums. This was normal for her. Do you have a view on that? Is that something school kids should see?
Well, look, I met with the minister yesterday, as did the parliamentary friends of the lesbian, gay, bi, transgender and intersex community. And we had a brief and frank discussion immediately before I spoke in parliament on it. And, you know, he's very sympathetic to the situation that we're talking about, you know, about diversity, about acceptance, about the issue of bullying, about and he's even written about that if you research some of the background. The directive that's gone out is, of course, that the film can be shown if it's within the curriculum or after hours, right? And so, and I understand schools are taking it up. I think that what was missed, and I said this in my speech, was that Mayer is from Burwood Girls High, and I think that wasn't taken into account about why the school is so passionate about having all the students see it. So, I mean, you want to showcase your alumni that do successful, you know, and show that to the whole school, and that was really a proud moment. So that was lost in all of the static around what's the film about, and it's the gay homosexual agenda and politically correct film and all that rubbish. And so that was miscommunicated. I think that the school could have handled a little bit more sensitively, but nonetheless, what the response was outrageously disproportionate to the minor issue around the students taking time off to do it.
Well, you've seen the film, haven't you?
Yes, of course. Yeah.
And I've seen the film, and my, of course, you know the film terribly well.
Seen it a few times.
I think you would have been in the edit suite over and over and over again. Shane, what was your emotional reaction when you saw the film?
Well, again, I refer to my speech. I mean, I was indifferent about going to see the film *Rue the Spec*.
Another doco.
Yeah, about our community. It's been it's one of the most, you know, documented and examined communities around. And you know, in my role as a parliamentarian and in this group, I had guests there, and I said, "Well, I'll go see the film." What happened was it unlocked emotions I didn't expect. The roller coaster emotions of a normal, of average families. You know, yeah. I identified all kinds of family issues in there. From, you know, AFL and church to, you know, literacy issues and all those different things that families have and aspirations. And so I left there very uplifted, a lot of questions in my mind, but very uplifted. And as I said in Parliament, you know, I was going, spoiler alert, this is about, you know, kids have dreams. Spoiler alert, parents sign up to them. And spoiler alert, people get disappointed. And spoiler alert, people cry. And spoiler alert, people are happy, you know. Well, that's just normal family life. Normal in, you know, quotation marks. It just shows that these families go through all the same emotions, all the same stories that everyone else does. During the film, it touches once or twice on some of the issues around same-sex parents. You know, the boys in Fiji I found quite confronting, and you know.
Oh well, when Maya, when the teacher sits down and says,
"I love it,"
but you saw it. I mean, the teacher sits down and says, "No, but who are his real parents?" And then he says, "Well, we're the guardian," and she goes, "Both of you?"
Yeah.
And he says, "Yes."
Yeah, but then you see the empathy of a woman.
Yeah.
You know, you could sense
instead
it through
rude,
the camera that she was going. She had love and empathy for what they were doing. You know, and that's the same place in all cultures usually.
Well, this is the thing I remark on too, that at a girls' school, I taught girls for about 8 years, and I found in an all girls environment, habitually, girls will try to find a way to talk out something, to talk about it, to discuss it. And that's one of the strengths of girls' communities. And it doesn't surprise me that it is a girls' school where this has been talked about in this way, having taught senior girls myself. Now, Maya, I think your school's been very nice, though. You've had a good time, haven't you, today in particular?
Yes. I was just saying that I just went to the launch of Wear It Purple Day at Burwood Girls, which was absolutely incredible. We're all sitting
Shane
here.
Shane Mallett has a purple tie on. There you go.
And socks.
And socks.
And yeah, it was absolutely uplifting. We did eat lots of purple cupcakes. I'm feeling a little bit ill, actually. But I think another thing to mention about this whole thing is that, you know, when I was at school, we didn't talk about different family structures. And so we are actually developing some resources around talking about diverse families that will go alongside the film for schools. And we have a writer who actually helped write the national curriculum for PDHPE, which we rolled out next year. And she's writing our resources because there are so many beautiful links throughout the, you know, the curriculum, all about diversity and inclusion of students. And so, you know, the film is so in line with all of that. I mean, we're talking
Absolutely.
About a PG film, and I'd really like the opportunity to potentially sit down with Piccoli and just, you know, talk to him about it and talk about all the points in the film and show him the film. I think, unfortunately, the media storm potentially made him knee-jerk reaction a little bit too soon. And, you know, I would be more than happy to invite him to watch the film.
The interesting thing about that reaction, though, was it just doesn't seem to match watching the film, Shane Mallard. When I saw the film itself, I just thought, where did the Telegraph actually get this from?
Absolutely. I'm sure no one at the Telegraph had seen the film either. Again, referring to my speech in Parliament, you know, I went and saw the film. I had a wonderful lifting feeling from the film, went home, went to bed. Next morning I get up, see this tabloid headline screaming. I thought, my God, I went to the wrong film. What film did I see? You know, I was in shock. Yeah. It was just outrageous. The headlines is outrageous that the newspaper invited in Muslim leaders to try and create another wedge on it, which I thought was really a sinister undertone. And, you know, I encourage members of Parliament, those who closed ears and eyes, to go and see the film or see this film when it's released.
Perhaps we could have a plebiscite on whether the film should be shown in schools.
I think, you know, it is a good point that, you know, the night before this all blew up, you know, the Parliamentary Friends Group for LGBTI Australians in New South Wales Parliament had organised the launch of their group by showing this film in Parliament.
Yeah.
Who could have known that the next day that would have happened? That was sort of quite shocking to me.
Well, there has been some suggestion, Maya, that this has been timed as well for the Marriage Equality Year.
Well, so Charlotte Mars, the producer, and I started making this film 5 years ago. It has been an absolute labour of love. We've made it on a very small budget.
It's very pretty.
I mean, 5 years ago, I would not have thought that we would be releasing it this time. But I'm also really glad that we can insert the voices of children who are growing up in these families into this debate, where sometimes leaders and politicians feel that it's okay to assume what's best for us. And really the film, like on a very basic level, is giving a voice to the kids. That's what it's about.
And Shane Mallard, you're worried that what we've seen in this week, certainly in New South Wales, is connected to the same sort of reaction that we've heard about marriage in general and marriage equality in general.
Well, first of all, I think any film or material is going to be presented and argued, it's all about an agenda for marriage equality. And I agree with what Maya said. It's the fact is that this demonstrates that the children's lives and their involvement with their parents is just average Australian lives.
Yeah.
What I'm alarmed about in regards to what has occurred is that it's a taste of what will happen almost undoubtedly if we have a plebiscite, or indeed a referendum, which I'm totally opposed to, about same-sex marriage, because it will be a green light for the bigoted minority in our society to say what they want to say and harm our community and drive a wedge into the fabric of our accepting communities in Australia, which is always under threat.
Maya, is that your sense too? You're nodding there.
Yeah, I completely agree. You know, I think that in the long run, marriage equality would be something that does benefit our families, because in the playground, if you have two mums and your friend has a mum and a dad and their parents are allowed to get married and yours aren't, that sends a very simple message, you know, that you're not equal. But at the same time, I think that a plebiscite or indeed a referendum would bring out so much negativity around our family that I don't know if in the short term that is worth it. I think that it should be something that is negotiated within Parliament.
I wondered, and I wonder what you think about this too, Shane, when in watching the film, gee, those families gave you access. I mean, you really saw them at home. You really saw what they felt. Sometimes I was wondering, did they reenact that for you, or were you just lucky that they were willing to have that conversation at the time you were there?
So that is called 3 years living with families.
So I think it is a observational.
It's completely observational, the film. I think there were some mornings where I'd be like, they'd like wake up and I'd be like filming them as their eyes opened and they're like, Maya, go away. but we actually, you know, I think it is a nice point here to make that we've been so taken it so seriously that we've been filming kids throughout this process. Particularly because we understand the political like climate in which we're making this film, and all of the kids as they were growing up and we were filming them, we were re-asking them for their consent as they grew older and understood more about what they were doing.
So these kids who are all basically 16 now,
yeah,
had to be okay to be for this film to be released
completely. And yeah, it's, you know, it's not my images that are out there, and we the kids were also a part of the editing process and the
really?
Families, and so, you know, we took bits out, we added bits in, we re-recorded things so that they felt okay with it. And what has happened is that all of the kids have actually built a really beautiful community in the making of the film. I think when this all happened on Wednesday, Ebony was like talking to Gus and one of the other films and making sure that he was okay.
Gus is the wrestler guy. Is he still doing the wrestling thing, by the way?
He's very into Aikido, martial arts.
His mum was pretty opposed.
His mum was pretty opposed, so I think Aikido might have been a nice...
Ebony in particular was quite worried about Gus because it was his image putting on lipstick on the front page of the newspaper.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, that image is completely taken out of context. What his story is about a young boy who feels totally confident and is able within his family structure to explore what masculinity is.
Well, that scene, I don't want to do a spoiler, but that scene is like sometimes children who are slightly naughty go to the counter, pull out the lipstick, and I've seen kids do this, put all over. His friend's standing there saying, oh, make it look like a Joker. And he's going, no, I'm just having a look at what it looks like. And the lady comes over and goes, oh, stop that.
Yeah.
And this is like a scene, and then there's a conversation.
And he puts it back into the general rack, and in the audience, everyone goes, oh, no, because the women in the audience are obviously like, someone's going to pick that up and use it. But I do congratulate the way you unwrapped and portrayed the emotions of the kids. You know, the young boy struggling with Christianity and God, the mother who wanted him to embrace the church, the visit to the minister was just very powerful. I talked about it in my speech as well last night. I was very impressed with the intimacy, with the emotions of the children as they journey through these different stories, parallel stories in the film. And you really identified with them, and particularly the young fellow who was struggling with Christianity and God and the church, and his mother, who passionately wanted him to embrace the church, you know, as some mothers do, and the journey off to see the minister, and then, of course, I'm spoiling the film, I suppose, but the battle between the church and AFL, let people work that out, what happens there in the Sunday morning. But look, one of the things I wanted to say, Noel, is I paralleled this to Kill a Mockingbird.
Yep.
In Parliament, you know, was that banned from schools in the early 70s, 60s? You know,
because of what a question about race relations.
Yeah, indeed, you know, it was a re-examining issue of black, the stereotyping of blacks in our society, and of course, Rabbit Proof Fence, which is in the English curriculum. Now, I would think before the federal parliament said sorry, it might have been a controversial film to have in a school, Rabbit Proof Fence, the Stolen Generation. So, put in those contexts, this film is no different to questioning our views, our locked-in views and our stereotype views about issues in our society.
Yeah, and I think just as an add to that, like, I've watched lots of films while I was growing up and going to school at Burwood, and I think that I probably don't know one student across Australia that has not watched Romeo and Juliet as a part of their studies, of which is about two underage people who have sex and then kill themselves.
Oh, gosh.
Like, surely that is a little bit more X-rated than... four kids growing up and learning to read, and
you could take it to any Shakespeare, really.
Shane Mellard, we've got to say goodbye to you because we've got to get back to Parliament, of course.
Indeed,
but thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you,
and thank you very much for your wonderful speech in Parliament.
Thank you, and one of the dads contacted me last night and said thank you too. So that, and it brought a tear to my eye. So it's good that you can reach out from Parliament and try and correct the wrongs that occur.
Shane Mellard has had to leave literally to get back to Parliament, but before you go. It strikes me that from what I've read and what I've seen, people actually need to see it to work out what it's about.
That's right. And, you know, a lot of the journalists that have written about this over the last few days have not seen the film. And we're very lucky that we actually decided to go to schools just before we went to cinemas. So the film will be in cinemas nationally from September 3rd. And you can just come and see what you think.
So our listeners in Perth and Darwin, all around the place, in the major cities, it will be opening on September 3rd.
That's correct. And if you want to find out exactly where, you can go to thegabyproject.com.
And that will tell you where the cinema is in your own city. Well, Maya Newell, I know it must have been quite an exhausting week in many ways, so I'm really grateful that you made time to come here to the ABC to talk to us. We're going to air, of course, nationally. It's a really pretty film as well. I mean, it's beautifully shot, it's sensitively done, it's beautifully edited. And thank you very much for being here on Sunday nights.
A pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.